cliffcentral.com.
It's the Gilmore T vibe on Cliff Central. The handles are Gilmore T and cliffcentral.com. The hashtag is GTEE vibe. We have a new time slot, 2 p.m. every Friday here on Cliff Central, and life just keeps getting interesting if you are a Zimbabwean. This past weekend still ongoing intensity for days with a lot of speculations, false news and actual facts going out to the public and to the world regarding the current political situation and the future for Zimbabwe. I for one keep receiving SMSs, emails, calls from people asking about my well-being as a citizen of Zimbabwe, which by the way I'm extremely grateful for. Is Zimbabwe on its way to having a new president? Are we in the middle of a coup right now? What will be the outcome of this situation? The feeling is just surreal. And what are the answers? Who actually has them? For this and more, please stay tuned to the Gilmore T Vibe on Cliff Central. Let's talk Zim. This week we have multi-award nominated hip-hop act T Wanda and social commentator Itai Muroi joining me in studio for a conversation on the not coup d'etat and the role or relevance of the church in postmodern Zimbabwe. What are the possibilities? What are the hopes? What are the intended outcomes? Does the church have or have not had a bearing on the politics, economics, and society of Zimbabwe? Make use of the hashtag GTEE vibe on all social media platforms, your Twitter, your Facebook, Instagram, and also Twitter handles are at Gilmore T and at cliffcentral.com. My name is Gilmore T, the global citizen, and let's talk Zim.
Welcome, Gilmore. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to have you guys.
Hi, Gilmore.
Hi, Tawanda.
Are you welcoming me? No, you get to a place, you greet everyone. I'm
and
sure.
And then
you
welcome
know.
Them in the space.
Yes.
You so you take over?
Yes.
Okay,
Excited. But I'm not general, yeah?
Okay.
I'm not general.
No, it's good.
How are you, Tawanda? How are you doing?
I'm great, Itai. How are you doing?
You're going to ask Swarel how he's doing also.
Oh yeah, Taro, how are you?
Like he's the foreigner.
You know what I'm saying?
I was going to pretend it doesn't exist.
Jess, it's good to have you. Let's get into the conversation and we hear what you guys have to share, actually.
Yeah.
So this past week in entertainment, the much-anticipated Zimbabwe Hip Hop Awards 2017 nominees list was out. Yeah. And you nominated for an award?
I was nominated for two, actually.
For two awards?
Yeah.
Which one?
Best Video and Best Gospel Act.
Yeah, congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
I know like POY and Mudiwa are heading with five nominations?
Five nominations,
But how do some of these guys keep on getting these awards? I'm just asking. I won't mention names.
Which guys are you talking about?
Okay, fine. Let's go.
But nonetheless, we just say we would like to say congratulations to everybody who was nominated and all the best come December.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beef and chicken and pork that's going to be happening, around that area.
Obviously.
In December.
So, okay. Can I digress a bit? We've got Hip Hop Awards.
Yes.
And we've got Sky's Metro Major Awards coming up, and they only have one category for hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Just one.
And then the...
No, it's alright.
Politics.
Anyway, moving right along. And the legendary Oliver Mtukudzi won an African Legend Award alongside Malice Salif at the All Africa Music Awards held in Lagos in Nigeria.
Wow.
Yeah, congratulations. He keeps winning awards.
It's automatic. They have to give it to him. I mean, he's a legend. What else?
No, yeah, he is a legend. He's a legend. But last time I was nominated in South Africa alongside Nasty C, I thought that was an insult.
I thought that was an insult too. How are you going? Nasty C.
You guys are being kind. That's not an insult. That's worse than an insult.
What is
anyway,
it then?
Anyway.
No, but I also think Zimbabweans, we've got this thing of classing people. I mean, for me, I suppose at the end of the day, music is music. You know, okay. Nasty C reaches out to the
younger generation.
Oliver, you know, will touch across board.
So because they're all fruits, are going to compare and apple and orange.
Yeah, I mean,
they're all fruits. And
the doctor recommends them all.
Okay, I never actually looked at it. Like
never the all fruits. All right. Okay. And in sports, this past weekend, proclaimed prophet Walter Magaya is now a Warriors legend. Having come on for the Warriors Legends.
I mean, that's also tricky considering that this they left out some players.
But they left out people like Alois Bunjira.
Yeah,
he could have played, but he was a sub.
How much does he have?
Because they should have put in Chiangwa then.
They should have said Zimbabwe Invitational 11, other than saying Legends.
Legends.
If
you're
going to be putting people that never play soccer.
Yeah, but anyways. Never play soccer. I don't even know if they play soccer. They can.
Oh, no, he never played soccer.
And this is the report in the Herald. They were all over him. Like, it was like, you know. You would think it was Makaya playing against Barcelona.
No, but you know his congregation actually skipped church on that particular Sunday to go watch him. Apparently.
What does it take to be a prophet, by the way?
I don't know, money. Oh, okay. And the suit. Shiny one.
No, but I think it's prophecy.
So how can I give you my suit size, then you can give me a shiny suit.
Mm, yeah,
you'll be hitting the money next year this time. You'll
definitely
be,
we can get you, don't worry.
Shiny suits are out, my friend.
But listen, this is what social media had to say. So there's a Black Eye Chingo 17. He said, my guy just performed another miracle. He's now a Zimbabwe football legend. Hashtag Twimbos, hashtag 260 chart. I mean, and then at Simba Muriro said, I am sorry, but how in the world did this happen? Since when is my guy a Zimbabwean football legend? This is a bit insulting to the football supporters and the former players themselves.
Yeah.
So a lot of people had a lot of negative things to say. But then one person, Dyson Muriro, said, when Prophet Walter Magaya forks out huge sums of money and hosts the national team at his hotel, no one dares to breathe. Just this gesture of offering my jersey as a guest player and everyone loses sleep.
It's a legend's match. He ain't a legend. Full stop.
And when he offers money, it's not like we go to him and ask for the money.
Is he buying the national team? Is he sponsoring? What is he doing?
Who said that statement?
But
Dyson, don't give him slapbacks.
No, I'm not
Kiwan is asking, like, I'm fine this dude.
I'm gonna find this dude, man. Is he on Twitter?
He's on Twitter at Dyson Murirwa.
Okay, I'm gonna find him on Twitter.
You need to find him. But I mean, he's at the same time, I mean, he's also bringing a different side. Because when my guy is giving money to the football team or any team in Zimbabwe, we are all excited about it.
He's doing charity, not business.
Yeah,
there are no returns on charity.
No,
thank
power
you.
Is money.
That's what I'm saying, Gilmore. Where at the end of the day, when he's giving money, we didn't ask him for the money. He does it out of his own goodwill.
Yeah.
It doesn't suddenly entitle him to, you know, be. I was excited about that match.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see the legends that I grew up seeing.
Yeah.
Some of whom I loved. All these players we love. Zimbabwe was a glorious football nation at some point.
That's it.
You know, and that's what we wanted to see. And Barcelona also being a glorious football team. And most of those players we know. I mean, I grew up watching Patrick Kluivert, Edgar Davids. You know, all those guys. Rivaldo. They were heroes.
But either way, he's playing for the Warriors. It led to a miracle because we won 2-0, right?
No, we didn't win 2-0.
But we went 2-0 down.
And then when he came on by some miracle, some grace or something, it ended 2-2, I think.
Yes, in a 2-2, but
don't you think it was going to be worse if he had not come in? Because, you know, he's got miracles.
Maybe it was going to end 6-2 with us winning.
Maybe it was going to end 6-2 with us losing.
I know. But at the same time, I think let's look at principle. It was a legends match.
Yes.
He had no place.
That's the baseline.
That's the
baseline. But money or no money, guys, doesn't change anything. So I'm going to change principles now because I've got money.
That's how it works.
Wait.
You've got money. If you've got money, you've got power. You take control over things.
Okay. So we change principles.
No, you shouldn't change. But then the situation right now, if you have money, you have the power. Okay. We're going to move into politics. So according to the Herald, the government is concerned with Zimbabweans who disguise themselves as company owners to win state tenders while being used by foreigners as funds. So the Minister of Transport and Infrastructure Development, Dr. Joram Gumbo, said locals who are being used as funds by foreigners are defeating the government's empowerment initiatives. He said government has observed with concern that a lot of people pose as business owners to win multi-million dollar government tenders, yet they hand them over to foreigners.
How do you... If I'm a business person, am I not allowed to have foreign partners? Like foreign sponsors? You know what? Business is about a proposal. I have an idea, but I don't have money. I propose it to Twa. Swap buys into my idea,
right?
And I can sell that idea to anyone because I've got Swap speaking to sponsor me with money.
But then the article says that a lot of people, they're going to the government asking for tenders, and they only maybe have 30% of their businesses, meaning the chunk of the percentage belongs to a foreign.
Well, what if the person around me doesn't have the money or the capability to help me make sure that that deal goes through? So because I think this is when they say that we're not tampering or we're not going against the indigenization policies and things like that. The indigenization policy never made sense in the first place. It never made sense in the first place. Are you going to tell me that 51% goes to a person that doesn't have the resources to make sure that this deal goes through?
So then maybe we need to invest more in actually building capacity within our community prior to giving anyone a tender.
But that's against the indigenization policy.
But now,
indigenization policy was designed to already benefit. This is the thing that's being fought the world over, where a few rich people continue to benefit of these policies of taxes. It's the same thing in Europe, it's the same thing in the Americas, where we are fighting a few elite. This is what this indigenization policy or ideas. Yes, they look good to us on face value, but at the end of the day, I mean, I went to Binga to put a boat on the Zambezi.
Don't even start with Binga. Binga is crazy.
On the Zambezi, you need a license that will cost you $2,500. How many people in Binga can manage 51%
Don't even go 10%. Mm-hmm. How many people in Binga right now that you can walk up to and say, look, I've got this proposal, I've got this thing here, I've got $2,000. Put in $500 and you get 51% of the deal. They don't have the $500.
Yes, exactly.
See, when someone comes in and they give you capacity in terms of resources, that's good enough. At the end of the day...
So what about capacity in terms of skills also?
What skills exactly?
Manage our finances, because at the end of it all, there's people that are winning tenders from the government and they're not doing anything besides feeding themselves and their families.
But these are also people with ties to the government. How do you win a tender when your papers don't check out? When everything about you and your structure doesn't check out.
And also I was gonna say something about people. You're saying that they get the money and they use it for themselves.
Yeah.
I've got a principle when it comes to business. Pay yourself first.
And in real politics, last week, Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa was removed from the vice president's position. Since then, the country has become an interesting series. Earlier this week, the Zimbabwe Defense Forces put out a statement in which Commander General Chiengwa asserted that the military would not hesitate to step in if the country's revolution was threatened. Soon after, Comrade Chipanga from the ZANU-PF Youth League issued a statement saying, as the youth of Zimbabwe and as the youth, young people whose future will be determined by the actions taken in the present, we have noted with shock and displeasure and disappointment the press statement of the commander of the Defense Forces, General Guvea Chiengwa, issued. We as ZANU-PF Youth League are a lion which has awakened and found its voice. Therefore, we will not sit idly and fold our hands whilst cheap pot shots and threats are made against the legitimate and popularly elected leader of the Revolutionary Party, ZANU-PF, and Zimbabwe. His Excellency, Head of State and Government, and Commander-in-Chief of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, Comrade Robert Gabriel Mugabe, thus as published in the Herald. Interesting take, gentlemen. Things are happening, yeah?
Things are happening, my G.
So now we have kids claiming to be lions. Interesting.
Kids claiming to be lions. That's like my kids claiming to be lions at home.
Yeah.
But we have Lita.
Yeah, Lita. Yeah.
No, but that was a bold, bold statement for him to make as a youth league leader, per se.
But this is a national army. It's not a salvation army, you know?
That's how. That's what Twitter was saying.
It's not army whims.
It's not army whims.
Army whims is bad. Ask farmers about army whims.
They're taking over Zimbabwe.
Nothing can terrorize you.
Nothing is bad.
But we need to deal with the armyworms also in Zimbabwe right now, because it's the farming season, right?
But we always know about these things, and because our economy has been bad for so long and nobody cares about us, nobody cared until the army decided enough is enough. Maybe in the next few years it will be fine, but this thing needs to be taken care of way in advance.
And him as a young person also voicing out for the rest of young Zimbabweans.
Now he wasn't voicing for the rest of the young Zimbabweans.
But that's how it comes across all the time.
This is the problem. People need to understand that Zimbabwe is not ZANU-PF.
Exactly. We've suffered from that problem for years. You know,
people need to understand.
Right now, we are suffering. We've been suffering from sanctions because a few people
who
are entitled to the country go out there and ruffle feathers.
And then they cause problems for the rest of the country. But Zuma on his statement, Zuma goes on to say that we're looking out for the best interest of Zimbabwean when he's talking about the first family. He needs to correct that statement.
Exactly.
Zimbabwe is not the first family.
But also, talking about that intervention by Jacob Zuma, a lot of people are asking, why is he intervening now? Why is the AU and the SADC coming in now?
Where were they in 2008? Remember the runoff elections?
Yes, yes.
Remember what happened there?
Mm.
People died and
there was
and
no word.
SADC and AU were not there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, because their number one fan has been kicked
number
out. They're coming
still
in.
Your president.
I totally.
Please don't say president. No, it's interesting just thinking that in this lifetime I'm going to say like former president. Wow, just
he's
imagine.
Still your president.
yes, he is. But there is a possibility that I'm going to say former president.
Okay.
Do you think of that when you woke up last week Sunday? Do you think of
you'd
that?
You never thought about
no,
that.
No one knows. We're going to need a reprogramming to understand we can say that.
Even the systems, we need to update our systems as well because some systems will crash.
Yeah.
Will crash and say, former president.
Yeah,
like,
but now this is what I think. SADC and AU are the most useless organizations out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they've allowed African countries to suffer, Southern African countries to suffer under the guise of some political or revolutionary understanding. But they always monitor. What does SADC do besides monitor?
That's all
they do. They're a bunch of class monitors.
You guys remember a sovereign nation. Remember a sovereign nation.
No.
We've always thrown this sovereignty whenever it suits us. Now that
just as much as we're saying it's not a coup,
we've been saying it's
not a dictatorship, it's a sovereignty, whatever.
But it's a dictatorship.
But it's not.
We understand simple things. You can close them in as much educated language as you want, right? But we understand simple things. SADC is a failure. Zimbabwe's sovereignty. You have to understand Zimbabwe was founded on Pan-African principles.
Not
individual principles, Pan-African, meaning these are ideas also taken from
before it was Pan-African, before it was prostituted to
order, gentlemen, order.
So
are you saying that we should not take the help from SADC and AU? Leave us alone.
No, right now they can keep it.
Yeah.
We will call them when we need them. Now they can keep it.
Because they'll probably
cause
more problems.
We've got their number anyway, so it's all right.
Yeah. They'll probably cause more problems than bring any solution.
That's what they've done. I'll tell you, in 2008, SADC will send delegations to come to Zimbabwe to assess, is it 2008 and before, the hunger situations. These guys would live in Rainbow Hotel and Crown Plaza and fly on helicopters over Greenlands in where is evergreen in Manicaland. and then go back and write a report that people are not starving, yet all the while on the ground who remembers umpinyo, sauna in they called it sauna, where you've got 5 cents to buy cooking oil for one meal's worth.
Remember when AU sent what was her name, was it AU or
one of them,
UN, that lady to come after Mrambatswini, I think.
Yes.
And she produced a report that was almost real.
Uh-huh.
She tried to make it nice anyway. She put some cosmetics. She was a woman. I mean, she put makeup on it.
That's a very sexist statement.
She was
coming from a social commentator.
she was a bit kind to the government, but because it was a damning report, we threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is who we are. Now we want SADC wants to come in. When they know that anything that condemns us, the government will throw it away. If the first family says it's okay. If you say it's thumbs down, so they want to come in, they should just
SADC should stay out of this.
Yes.
Zuma is one person that really wants to get into this because he knows that if this situation breaks through in Zimbabwe, his people, that said, we've been wanting him out for the past I don't know how many years, will definitely kick him out.
So it's a personal agenda.
It's a personal agenda. It's a political move.
Preservation.
Gentlemen, moving right along. So Wednesday, we woke up to some national, to our national broadcasters at BC TV repeatedly flighting a visual audio statement of ZDF spokesperson, and that's the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, Major General Sifosiso Moyo, assuring Zimbabweans that the ZDF had not staged a coup and the president and his family were safe. In his statement, he went on to say, "Fellow Zimbabweans, following the address we made on the 13th of November 2017, which we believe our main broadcaster ZBC and the Herald were directed not to publicize, the situation in our country has moved to another level."
It's moved to another. It's moved to the Defense Forces level
from the ZANU PF level.
Ridiculous. So he went on to highlight that the president and his family were safe and indicated that the ZDF is only targeting criminals around him who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country in order to bring them to justice. He continued by highlighting that as soon as they had accomplished their mission, things would return to normalcy. Then later, Chipanga was found detained and has since apologized to the general for his words.
Yeah, I mean, Chipanga also was supposed to, I mean, talk about turning around. You know, you talk so much, because I think also people in ZANU-PF over-presumed their power. Why? Did. Because all along they always had the military backing.
Yes.
You know, so and then suddenly when the bouncers stand aside, you know, you got Rottweilers and Boer Bulls. And then there's a little chihuahua barking. It's throat off. And then suddenly the Rottweilers and the Boer Bulls step aside.
Rotide.
You know, and then, go and stand. And yeah, you know, you realize, like, really, we really don't have any real power.
Yeah. You know, it's something that has always happened where politics is involved. There's always... always a hand behind whoever is making the most noise, and in this case, there was a picture going around on social media of a message saying make sure Chipanga reads the amended statement, which means there was someone who was behind the statement, and like he's saying now that he was given this.
Oh, he was given.
Yeah, he said in his apology that it was given by a.
So basically, how do you read a statement? Written by somebody, and there is a line that says, "We are willing to die for somebody."
Really?
And then you know you are not willing to die for nobody.
Yeah.
And then you go ahead and read that line.
No, because you are being paid to do that. Maybe, you are benefiting from saying that.
Maybe he was asked politely with the gun to his head.
No, I don't believe he was. But, he was asked.
But when you sing for your supper. Realize when you sing for your supper, you do anything. Yeah. I mean, for supper.
Okay.
I think that's the right thing.
And social media also had a lot of things to say. Lance Guma on Twitter said, "The army has taken away our democratic right to be undemocratically ruled." And hashtag unknown. And there's another gentleman who's at Lloyd T. Muchedzi. He says, "Against all hope, Ibrahim believed in hope. As we wake up this morning, we still believe, we still hold on to this hope of freedom for Zimbabwe." Pastor Tawanda, can you hear this guy preaching?
I can hear him preaching. Hallelujah.
With so many people voicing out, with some making funny comments, such as at Netzli, she says, "Army fall on me, tank fall on me, Davido's song. Paparazzi fall on me because you stayed too long. Are you done packing?" And Trevor Ngube also had a comment saying, "I am receiving unconfirmed reports of arrest of cabinet ministers and prominent people in Zimbabwe. I will share when names are confirmed. Remember, the army said they are targeting thieves around President Mugabe. Hashtag Zimbabwe."
Yeah, and it's funny, I'm reading a tweet right now by an Ali Naka. "There was more cash found in the former finance minister's home than what was in the central bank. So much for being revolutionary."
But was he arrested? Is it like formally announced that he's arrested now?
Well, we are still getting the update. You know, they are still telling us who's been arrested.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the army confirm that they've arrested someone? No, they don't arrest
you. Army just, doesn't arrest
you. They just keep you safe.
Yes.
They keep you safe.
Yeah, they just keep you safe.
So meaning you should not be on the wrong side of the army.
Yes.
They don't arrest you.
they, yeah, they keep you safe somewhere. At a house or
or some facility where your safety is protected.
Oh my God.
And you know, one tweet that I found intriguing was at Sizwe Tinga. He says 10 years from now, this Zimbabwe is going to be a movie made up of an American cast who cannot pronounce Zimbabwe.
That is so true though.
every time something happens in Africa, there's a movie made about it. And believe you me, the cast okay, fine. There'll be locals.
One person possibly.
There'll be locals. No, there'll be plenty locals.
Extra, not main cast.
Don't say anything.
Just walk past. Show us how you can make his trailer, and then we'll put you in the movie. But you know, the Major General Moyo asked Zimbabweans to remain calm and limit unnecessary movement, and encourage those employed to continue with their usual day-to-day routines. But in Bulawayo, for example, things were just normal. I mean, it looked like another day.
Yeah. And talking of unnecessary movement, I remember a tweet from KB Mpofu.
At KB Mpofu.
Asking if jogging was unnecessary movement.
Yeah, with the army, you need to be sure.
You need to be sure, man. You don't know. You don't know what's going on.
I like the humor Zimbabweans have. I mean,
it's incredible, yeah?
This is what I mean. Try if we've been too serious about it. Mm. But the humor has made us, you know, go through it as if it's, everyday things.
Like, people are laughing. I mean, when you go on Twitter and you look for the hashtag Zimbabwe, it's a lot of fun to read stuff that people are putting out there. So you sort of like get to escape the reality, but I think we've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's how we've managed to make it this far.
Yeah, because everyone that would come to Zimbabwe, one question they would ask me is that, dude, how do you manage to live in this abnormal state? It's an abnormal situation. And most Zimbabweans have lived in an abnormal state, but have been functioning normally. Mm-hmm. You see. So the thing is that now that we're coming to a place where we are realizing that we'll probably have some form of salvation from our abnormality, we can actually now, you know, it seems funny, but we're excited. I think the general consensus with most Zimbabweans is that this situation that's actually happening right now, as much as it can escalate to something else, people are very excited.
The thing with Zimbabweans is we've seen worse. And we've lived through worse and came out of it. So now, what we do now is bring it on. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yes,
but we want to see. We're just excited.
Because what Ita is saying and what Tiwana is saying is, basically, we have not had a first step.
Yeah.
Since back when we first became disgruntled. We haven't had a first step. And this, regardless of whether we like it or not, is a first step at a twist to our story.
That's right.
A turning point in our story as Zimbabweans, which is why a lot of Zimbabweans are welcoming it. Like, we are uncertain right now. There's so much uncertainty because there hasn't been an update in a while.
Yeah,
the news keeps repeating the same thing. There's a lot of speculation on social media. But Zimbabweans are saying, you know what? Let's take it in. We are willing to take this first step, whether we are going into the hands of a worse devil. We will see when we get there. But right now, we just want this turning point in our story.
And we are using humor to actually at the point.
That's
like,
true.
Like, I'm getting this tweet here from Machaung. He is at Moyo_.
Is he your friend?
Yes, she's a good friend.
That's why you're reading it.
Can I only marry Yangu Garawandiba, please? No good snow on the windows of my refugee camps, Akasiana. Translated means, if you owe me money, pay me now. Because you never know what's going to happen. You might end up in two different refugee camps.
It's true to say laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, Zimbabweans, we by now we would be this whole nation of depressed,
depression-affected
people. Mm-hmm. But we've managed, the bulk of us have managed, you know what, to stay above, you know, the ground, above water, and continue living. Yes, it's unfortunate for the other population percentage that are actually affected greatly by this.
After all this is after the KT comes down on this, I think I'm gonna ask whoever the interview with the general and get some notes so that I can patent his bloodless coup methods, and I can make money by patenting that and make it my own thing. And whenever someone wants to overthrow a government, they have to call me first.
Because everyone keeps saying it's the most diplomatic and calm cool. Not cool.
Not data. Cool.
Not cool.
That is happening in Zimbabwe right now. I'm going to read like a statement from the Major General Moyo. He said that to both our people and the world beyond our borders, we wish to make it abundantly clear that this is not a military takeover of the government. What the Zimbabwe Defense Forces is doing is to pacify a degenerating political, social, and economic situation in our country, which, if not addressed, may result in violent conflict. Which, okay, I guess we don't want.
My question, I suppose, first, yes, before I get to what you're saying, is why do you think they keep refusing that this is a coup? Why do you keep emphasizing it's not a coup?
Because of what has happened in other countries.
Uh-huh.
Whenever a coup happens, there's usually a gunfight of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, no one resisted them, and the people. Let's forget the element of the people. The people are happy. I mean, if you find a president is falling and the people are happy, it's a sign. It's mm-hmm. not a coup. It's what do you call it? Realignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always find a nice names of naming these bad things, like when there's no electricity, call it load shedding. No, it's not load shedding, it's a power cut.
There's no gets it going.
So we find substitutions for these terms, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, and also I think what the army is trying to do is remain as constitutional as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, a coup right now, a state of emergency, would be viewed as illegal by both our class monitors, SADC and AU, and the international community. It wouldn't play well, even if it's what people would like to see happen. According to the law, it is illegal. This would then render the generals criminals and stuff like that, and all that, and you know, and then a lot of players who want to benefit, who've been benefiting from the same situation, would actually take advantage of that by sending in, you know, relief, what armies and things like that. And I think the army is trying to avoid that by constantly emphasizing, you know what, this is not a coup.
But
this
but
is, you know, because initially, if you heard the Chiwenga's initial statement, he didn't reference the country a lot. He referenced ZANU-PF and them correcting ZANU-PF.
Yeah.
Yes, ultimately, if you have the president under house arrest, it has to do with the country.
Yeah, no,
it concerns the country.
Is it house arrest or they're keeping him safe?
They're keeping him safe.
If you want to go outside for a stroll in the yard and they're like, no, you can't go.
Go.
But I think
you'd be shot outside. I mean, you've got disgruntled citizens all over.
But listen, for me personally, I think I acknowledge that whole effort in trying to keep it calm for the people, because the moment they cause panic in the nation,
yes,
by making it a national thing and not saying, okay, we're trying to keep the president safe, then everyone else is going to start coming in and we're going to have chaos. So really, we need to acknowledge
which is what the ZANU-PF youth were trying to do by throwing "we will die" threats and "we will what."
And
they were trying to ruffle up the wrong, and the soldiers were like, you know what, young boys,
calm down.
Keep calm.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't know.
Yeah, like, yeah, just chill. We even if you look at how the soldiers all around where they are deployed are behaving.
Yeah.
You know, really, they even urge the police
to
harass people, keep away, stay in your barracks, in your stations.
Yeah.
You know, don't
cause noise.
Yeah. Like, they're basically just asking people for IDs. They're not even asking for driver's licenses.
No, just IDs.
Like, if you're driving somewhere, they won't even ask to see.
So now you can get away with driving without a license. Actually.
You can get away with driving without a license.
That's a cool thing.
get away from the soldiers, but your life will be in danger anyway. Let's talk about that. But I was going to say, like, I was going to throw a statement somebody said to throw around to Emmerson Mnangagwa just before he was demoted and after he was demoted, that if you're a lizard, don't come here and expect to be a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has come up and people are believing he is the crocodile, and those people who thought they were crocodiles are now turning out to be lizards.
Because now a friend of mine was saying he behaved exactly like a crocodile, played dead.
Yeah.
And when they were ululating and dancing in celebration,
he comes back,
beat them in the ass.
You know, I said to friends, and I said it on Twitter as well, that a crocodile gives, he hatches his eggs outside the water.
Mm-hmm.
So they chased the crocodile out of water and they thought it had gone. Well, they didn't know it had gone to hatch its eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Now the crocs are coming back into the water. So gonna be interesting times in the water, I tell you.
Yeah. Bring all your prophets right now. But you know, some journalists that are trying to come into Zimbabwe, like a BuzzFeed news correspondent from Kenya, she was refused entry at the Robert Gabriel Mugabe International Airport.
But it has been
like a proper farewell statement.
I'm telling you.
Robert Gabriel Mugabe Airport. I'm out.
That's the stuff. That's the stuff.
But how do you name an airport after yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go and officially open it. So this Robert Mugabe International Airport was officially opened by Robert Mugabe. Like, seriously?
Okay, calm down. Let's talk about this. What does it do for us? Let's say we're banning journalists from coming into the country. Is it positive to us as a nation, as a country? Or what effect does it have on us?
We have always had, that thing of not wanting our news being said out by other people. During the time Robert Mugabe was in power, he banned a lot.
He's still in power, you know?
He's still in power in court. He banned a lot of foreign news agencies coming into the country. So it's some of these things, you know, it's like a hangover thing. It takes a bit of time to get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I think I can understand what's going on. I was reading a tweet here where the tweet about the criminals, where somebody is tweeting saying, I can't find the tweet right now, saying if they caught all the criminals, imagine the amount of money we would have. I try and think how much money is in Chiwenga's position. So you have journalists coming in who have other ulterior agendas. Because it's journalism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You come here for a story, but you can uproot another story.
Yeah.
And I don't think right now
is the right time.
I don't think the army wants that to have people come in who are looking for other things other than this. Because they, like you guys are saying, we have to commend how calm they try to keep everything.
That's it.
And then suddenly some funny story that comes from another might just ruffle things up, and then suddenly, you know, I think they understand that how safe people are is of primary concern.
Yes. I actually think that it's a good thing that we're not getting a lot of interference from outside.
Yes, for now.
I think it's a very good thing, because this situation, like I said before, can just escalate into something else if the wrong move is made.
Or degenerate into a whimper.
So we need to be very careful with what we do and what we allow to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the army is very correct.
And also Zimbabwe, if you look at Zimbabwe in all its aspects, this is, as a powerhouse in itself.
Yeah.
People have said this for years, and it's been repeated in my mind so much that I've come to understand it. Zimbabweans will handle their own problems.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Zimbabwe will solve their own problems.
Yeah.
You know, I've come to understand it now, and I've come to understand how it's important at this particular point.
Yeah.
I'm not saying totally. I don't believe in repression of expression. I don't believe in all this. I just think at this particular point, in the next few days, until there is a way forward.
Things are heading up in studio, and we're still hanging out with T Wanda, an award-nominated hip-hop artist, and a social commentator, Itai Muroi. So please air your views and comments on all social media platforms by making use of the hashtag GTEEVibe, and also tweet me at Gilmore T and at CliffCentral.com. We'd love to hear from you. Still on the press statement put out by the Zim Defense Forces, the Major General Moyo called upon war veterans to play a positive role in ensuring peace, stability, and unity in the country. They've also increased on security on borders, like on the Mozambique border and other borders. They've really increased on the security there.
Wow. Well, I think that's a good move. We don't want people coming in here with ulterior motives. It's always the case in Africa. Whenever something happens, the vultures will come in to make the most of what's available, degenerate the situation so that they can make money. So at the end of the day, this is about, for most people living in Zimbabwe right now,
yes,
this is about change of power.
I mean, we have had one president for 37 years. I think that's cruel by any other name. You can't. All my life, I've known one president, and it's just not nice.
You feel sad, and you feel like you're about to cry about the fact that you've had one president all your life right now.
And sometimes I think the universe keeps talking, in the sense that each time we walk past the Joshua Nkomo statue, my daughter always says, "Is that the president?"
That's what your daughter
says. I used to say, no, the president is a whole other dude. This is the guy who was supposed to be
the president.
But now I just say, yes, that's the president.
Stop lying to the kid, dude.
Gentlemen, you need to tell the truth to your kids, okay? You need to show them the real president of Zimbabwe.
But she keeps asking, like, each time.
Explain to her, she'll understand.
I have explained. I think she wants that guy to be president.
But you know, there's something interesting about that statue. Do you know the location of that statue? That's where the statue of Sister John Rose used to be.
Stood. Yeah. Yes.
So it's, at the end of the day, when you really look at it, there is something that is going on that we don't know about at the end of the day. And also there's that, what do you call it? Is it obelisk? Obelisk, I don't know what that without a capstone at the post office gardens.
Yes.
There's so many things happening in this town
that we don't know
about.
That we don't know about.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, let's move on to the church, to the role of the church in all this. So there's the Major General Moyo said, he also went on to call on churches and religious organizations to pray for the country and preach the gospel of love, peace, unity, and development. Let's talk about the role of the church in all happenings in Zimbabwe in general, and what are the responsibilities of the church?
The responsibility of the church, I think, number one, is to be very truthful.
You are a pastor, by the way.
Yeah, I am a pastor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So like I was saying, that the role of the church is number one, to be very truthful. And I think to a certain extent, if I'm to be a bit blunt on this one, the church as a whole, not talking about any congregation in particular, but the church body as a whole in Zimbabwe has lost that because they focused on things that don't actually touch the issues, the social issues that are actually happening in people's lives. Mm-hmm. So people are more concerned about prophecy, won't mention any names, prophecy, healings, and all those kind of things, right? And I think that has been one of the reasons as to why the state of the nation is where it is, until the army had to step in. The church should have stepped in decades ago.
But the church is not, are they even interested? I mean, in all these things happening in
Zimbabwe. Supposed to be.
Because last week we spoke to Indigo Saint, right?
Yes.
And then he addressed that, you know, sometimes we go to church and we're so depressed, but people don't pick it up. They're worried about ties, they're worried about money, they're worried about which shinier suit I should wear next week, and that's things like that. So what is the church there for?
I like it because Tawanda says the church is supposed to be truthful. But from my experience, I found that the truth is never found in church.
Really?
Yeah, the church has grown into a social grouping of favorites. You go to church, you find people sing the choir. Mm-hmm. They'll sing there, but the moment they walk out of the church, they don't talk to each other. There's no greeting. There's nothing,
dude.
You know, I have a sort of Catholic background in me. I grew up going to a Catholic church.
the beer drinkers.
There's nothing wrong with beer. I can't put to that. I grew up and one thing I learned from that is, and I've held that principle true to me now. Now more that I don't go to church than when I used to go to church, is in serving one another, we serve the Lord. But we don't do that in church. Church has become like a show for me to show off my latest suits, my latest car, and all that kind of thing.
For me, for somebody who is not totally religiously inclined,
right?
I'd like to think over the years I've come to understand the value of people going to church, especially living in Zimbabwe, in a situation like Zimbabwe. And I'm not saying I'm going against what you are saying, where I see what people benefit if they go to a church that still upholds the proper church principles. Values. You know, people need something to rely on. people need something to hold on to in these trying times.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't have that in our work environments.
We don't have that in
many social contexts. And unfortunately, over the years, the church has evolved into another socializing environment, just like going to a football match or going to a bar.
Yeah, the bar is even more.
That's where the evolution has gone, which is really sad. Because right now, I know why. Because I was going to ask a question.
Yeah,
how I remember growing up, the president and family were Roman Catholic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're still now, Roman Catholic, no?
Yeah, but now they go and dress regalia for political. I mean, to entice. Why is that?
Okay, like for instance, I'll give you an example. This is why I'm saying that the church lost its identity somewhere along the way. Where number one, the church divorced itself from politics. Mm-hmm. Like, how the heck does the church divorce itself from something that is so grave in how the country is run? Because even when we look in the Bible,
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
For one, churches are tax exempt.
Yeah, but you see,
and following, you know what? Bowing down to the lawmaker means the amount of money churches are making. Churches are actually out profiting business.
Yes, they are, and this is why you have churches springing up like. Like, I'll give an example of Bulawayo, right? George Lundika should be renamed and be called Church Street.
Church Street.
Because literally from the beginning of that street, right up to the end of that street, you've got churches at every corner, or probably in one block, you probably have 5 churches.
Exactly.
In one block. Why? Because people are profiting from the situation, right? So people will be like, yo, you know, things are so bad in Zimbabwe. Come to Jesus and Jesus will give you. But in order for you to get from Jesus, you need to give to Jesus first. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So now people are actually becoming, they're prostituting the gospel.
Right. Ooh, yeah. So you're coming to some of that
prostitution.
I was going to say about the church. The church and politics, I'm sorry to say this, and prostitution are all sides of the same coin.
How many sides does this coin have?
Oh my God, this is a new coin.
Because they will raise your hope. They will raise your hope. But if you really look at what's raising your hope, really, it's what air. There is nothing really that church will never give at the end of the day, but they will raise your hope. Mm-hmm. But what we have to look at is the church, for the church to be effective, it has to start with us people.
Yes.
We need to know who we are.
This is
first
why I was
as a
saying,
before we can.
It's like, this is why I was saying that the church has lost its social responsibility, because it's no longer focusing on social issues that are actually... Look at... Okay, we'll give him an example of Jesus. Jesus did not hang around in the synagogue. Jesus spent his time around drunkards and prostitutes and stuff like that because he was dealing with social ills.
But no one wants to play with it because I drink.
Exactly. And
that's what I'm saying.
You see a pastor embarrassed with the prostitutes. They're
commercial workers. In this day or age of Twitter.
My friend, you'll be all over Twitter like in a heartbeat. You get what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But look, what I'm just trying to say is that the responsibility of the church and the role of the church in Zimbabwe has been zero or minus 20.
Yeah, like it's been lost.
It has been lost.
Agree.
It hasn't been there. It hasn't been as active as it should have been. So the church right now is like, as I said, it's just like a social club, like going to soccer and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Or it's probably been turned into some form of a business.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why one of the major reasons I think why this country has gotten this bad.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything, people who actually hold sway over politicians with people and loyalty from people are actually church leaders, religious leaders.
Yeah.
And they failed or had an agreement with politicians. You should listen to the song by Agala called The Thieves' Banquet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where it's basically taken from Gugu's Devil on the Cross concept.
Right.
But it's talking about competition. The devil held a competition of the greatest thieves and robbers.
Right.
All pickpockets and everybody fell. And only 4 people remained.
Right.
This is the third world dictators,
yeah,
monarchs of empire,
yeah,
third heads of religious orders,
yeah,
and a cartel of bankers. These are the biggest thieves the world over today.
That's so
and
true.
Prostitutes.
Yeah, and prostitutes. Gentlemen, I'm afraid I have to let you go. We're almost like
it has been come a to pleasure. The
end. Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you guys. So when we want to get a hold of you, where do I get a hold of you?
I'm on Twitter @Muroi, Instagram @Muroi. No, it's my surname. It's not witchcraft.
How do you spell it out?
Muroi.
Okay.
And Facebook, Itai Muroi.
All right.
Yeah, you can find me on all social media platforms at T1ZW, but the way you spell it is the T, the number one, NDAZW.
And all the best with your nomination.
Yeah, I hope to scoop those awards.
All right, thank you.
Like, so is there the vote line or something, or decide in the offices?
They decide in the offices. There's
how does it work? How does it work?
Another conversation. They decide. So all the best with the awarding ceremony.
Thank you, man.
And thank you for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure.
We'll be back soon after these messages.
Welcome to MTV Sugar Down South. This is Kensani's story.
Come here, baby, I want you, so come on, hop up in the bed.
He's all I think about. All the time. You know, the way he looks at me, the way he makes me feel. The world can view our love as wrong, but it's the purest thing I've ever known. Yes, he's married. Yes, he's my teacher, but I don't care. I know he loves me. And one day, when I finish school, we'll be together. I know this is not perfect, but I'm not giving up on him. I know you are my one true love. It's after school and you're in his car, right under everyone's noses.
You're hot. No, sorry. No, I shouldn't have said that.
No, you don't mean to try. You can say anything to me. Gaucho, did you miss me over holiday?
No, I do.
I missed you more.
Kumele, I need to get back home by 4.
I'll be home by 4. Don't want to upset your mother and father.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet.
No. You're sweet.
How can this be so wrong when it feels so right? It's like you put a spell on me. I don't want this feeling to ever end.
My father is the pastor at our church. He and my mother would be horrified if they knew about me and Lionel. Thank goodness for my best friend, Itzula. Now, I don't know what I'd do without her.
Mama, can you pay
your mom? Mama.
Hi, Tulu.
Hi, okay.
Hello, Sisi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. A little bit lonely. My dad's on the road again.
Oh, but you know you always welcome in our home.
Yes, that's actually why I'm here, to find out if Kensani can maybe come and watch some DVDs at my place.
Of course. My daughter with you is always in good company.
But of course, Ubaba would never let us leave without a blessing.
I will say this of my Lord, that he is my refuge and my fortress,
amen,
my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler,
amen,
and from the deadly pestilence.
Yes. I have amazing parents. They love me deeply and would do anything for me. But this is my life. I have to do me. Of course we weren't going to watch DVDs. It's the freshest turn-up tonight. And
If I can't be with Lionel, I want to have a good time with my friends.
Johnny, let's go get some drinks.
No, I just want water, eh?
Water? At a turn up, really?
Solo, I'm just not in the mood right
Why?
Now.
Why? Because you're in the mood for Lionel, ne?
And don't be stupid. I mean, he's a teacher. How'd it look? Like, it's enough.
Okay, fine, Mrs. Lionel.
I hate it when we fight. We agree about everything except this. But Tulu is still interested in stupid young boys. I have a real man. And then the most incredible thing happened.
Oh my gosh, Mzala, he's here. I've got to go.
You just got here and you're leaving me.
Don't act like you wouldn't do the same.
I wouldn't, and I'm the one who picked you up. Don't forget that, ne?
Woo! Can brother man calm down? And when are you just running after him like a lovesick puppy?
Don't be like that, Tommy. I have to go now. Come on.
Okay, no, I see you leaving me for him.
Tommy, was about strong. I've got love to chase.
There's a difference between love and sex, Kenzie. You remember that.
Bye, Alicia. Yeah.
Of course I lived. One day she'll understand. When your destiny comes calling, you can't turn the other way. You owe it to yourself to run towards it and grab it with both hands. He came for me. He left his wife and daughter at home to be with me. That means everything. I feel like my heart is going to burst.
His earrings look beautiful on you.
He buys me the most thoughtful gifts. Thank you. No one can tell you how love is supposed to feel. You write your own love story. Someone once said, love isn't something you find. Love is something that finds you. You don't know what you do to every single person around you. You got charisma, girl.
Eating up in studio, and we are expecting a more light atmosphere in Zimbabwe, lighter atmosphere actually, because things have been tense, and we just hope that our people in Zimbabwe keep things together. Yeah, more peace. We like peace as Zimbabweans. We like peace to prevail throughout the entire nation. So Zimbabweans, continue playing your role in making sure that things are stable in the country. So here's something rare. So we found something on Twitter from @Mr_Sutap. He says, if these Mugabe kids had checked the time instead of pouring champagne over the watch, they would have realized it was 4:45.
That's not cold.
That's very cold, right? No, that's very cold. That's very cool. But then again, we are going to have a part two of this conversation because we had so much things coming up during the break, and we are expecting, obviously, to have so many things unfolding in the country. So part two will come up sometime soon, maybe in a few weeks' time. Yeah.
Maybe next week, maybe in a few weeks' time, just when the whole political situation settles and there's a way forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we have a basis for, you know, a discussion.
But otherwise, we're running out of time. So if you have so many thoughts and would like to let us know what you think about these issues and many other things happening in the country, please hashtag us GTEEVibe and also tweet us @GilmoreT and @CliffCentral.com. My name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen. And from me to you, keep Zimbabwe safe and peaceful.
CliffCentral.com